We present All Gas and Gaiters. The bishop has a rest. Starring Robertson Hare, William Mervyn, John Barron, and Jonathan Cecil, with this week's special guest, Joan Sanderson, as Mrs. Pugh Critchley. It is Saturday afternoon, and the bishop and archdeacon are just entering the study.
Oh, that wasn't a bad lunch, eh, Henry?
No, Bishop. Not if you liked stewed mince.
Oh. It's very difficult for Mrs. Loosemore to think of things on Saturdays. Newt does the cooking, don't forget.
No, Bishop. I'm not likely to.
Nah. Well, never mind about that, Henry. Come along and sit down.
Thank you, Bishop. My turn for the comfy chair.
But you had it last week, Henry.
No, Bishop, no, you did.
Did I?
Yes, and the week before.
Oh, well, in that case, you better have it. I'll sit over on the sofa.
Thank you, Bishop. I always enjoy these Saturday afternoons.
Oh, so do I, Henry. And it's nice to feel that we've earned a rest after a hard week's work. Oh, who can that be? Come in.
Excuse me, my... Oh, you've settled down, have you?
Yes, Newt, why? What's the matter?
Well, there's the washing up to do.
Well, of course there is, Newt, and judging by your apron and rubber gloves, you are about to do it.
Yes, my old, I am, but I was hoping you might come and help me with it this week.
Oh, much as we should like to help you, I'm afraid it is quite out of the question. The Archdeacon and I have things to discuss.
But you say that every week.
Because every week we have things to discuss.
Well, you didn't last week. When I came in with the tea, you were fast asleep.
Asleep? My dear Newt, what can have given you that idea?
Well, my lord, I think it was seeing you lying back with your eyes shut.
I do that as an aid to concentration.
I see. Does snoring help too?
Snoring?
Well, that's what it sounded like when I came through the door.
Oh, that wasn't snoring, Newt. It was heavy breathing, or some similar sound concomitant with deep thought.
I'm sorry, my lord, I didn't realize. In that case, of course, you can't possibly help with the washing up.
So long as you appreciate that, Newt.
Oh, yes, I do. I'll go and get on with it.
If you wouldn't mind, Newt.
Of course, my lord.
Newt?
Yes, my lord?
Bring us a cup of tea when you've finished, will you?
Yes, my lord. Certainly. Hey-ho.
Now, Henry, what have you got to discuss?
Nothing, Bishop.
Haven't you? Are you sure?
Certain. What about you?
Me? Oh, well, Henry, come to think of it, I haven't either. Oh, dear me, that means we'd better go and help Newt.
Oh, must we, Bishop?
Well, we can't leave him to do all that dreadful washing up if we haven't got anything to discuss, can we?
I suppose not.
You could say he's better left alone.
Could you?
Well, I mean, you see, he's bound to have his own methods, isn't he?
Oh, that's true.
I mean, too many cooks, remember? On the whole, I think it'd be wrong to interfere, don't you?
Oh, very wrong, Bishop.
Good, then that's settled. And if I may say so, I think we've made a very wise decision.
Oh, yes, Bishop, I agree.
Right. Oh. Oh! What? What's happened on earth? Henry, what's that dreadful noise?
The bells, Bishop.
Well, it can't be. They don't work.
They're working now.
Well, it must be somebody playing with them.
Oh.
Newt! Newt!
Coming, my lord! Have you decided to help me with the washing up?
Oh, never mind the washing up. Do you know who's ringing the bells?
No, my lord, but they shouldn't be.
I'll say they shouldn't.
It's forbidden.
Is it? By who?
Dean Skinner in 1900. There's a little rhyme that goes, Great Tom of Oggs has lost his voice. The treble's throat is thrust.
Oh, never mind all that rubbish, Newt.
But there's some more, my lord. Don't you want to hear it?
No, Newt, I do not, and I don't want to hear those bells either. Just go and tell whoever is ringing them to stop immediately.
Yes, my lord, of course.
And take that apron off.
Of course, my lord.
And those rubber gloves.
Oh, must I take them off as well?
Well, of course you must, Newt. I can't have my chaplain walking through the cathedral close in rubber gloves.
But they're Mrs. Loosemore's. They're rather tight and very difficult
Newt,
to get off.
Do stop fussing and hurry up. I can't stand much more of this noise.
Well, would you mind pulling them off for me, my lord?
Very well. You get hold of that one, Henry. Come on, now.
Right,
one,
right,
two,
Bishop.
Three. There you are. Stop. Thank goodness for that. Oh, come on, Henry. Sit down again. What are you standing there for, Newt?
Well, what am I supposed to do now, my lord?
Wash up, of course.
But I've taken my gloves off.
Well, put them back on again.
Right, my lord.
Oh, what's that?
The front door, my lord.
Oh, I thought it was one of those bells again. It is not as funny as all that, Newt. Oh, go and see who it is.
Yes, my lord. Oh, Dean, won't you come in?
Thank you, Newt. Is that an apron you're wearing?
Oh, sorry about this, Dean. I'm doing the washing up.
Of course. One should seize every opportunity for leisure. Please tell his lordship I'm here.
Yes, Dean. If you'll wait here in the hall, I shan't keep you a moment.
Who is it, Newt?
The Dean, my lord.
Oh, that's Saturday afternoon. What does he want?
Perhaps he's come about the bells.
Oh, of course. Yes, I expect he's stopped them, don't you, Henry?
Yes, Bishop. He usually stops things.
Shall I show him in, my lord?
Yes, Newt. No. On second thoughts, Newt, I'll see him in the hall. That way I'll get rid of him quicker. Shan't be a moment, Henry.
Ah, my dear Dean, I think I know what you've come about.
You do, my lord?
The bells.
You are correct.
Then let me say at once, this is a matter on which you have my full support.
And then perhaps you would like to put your contribution in this collecting box.
Contribution? Whatever for?
To defray the expense I have incurred in getting them ringing.
Was that you ringing the bells, Dean?
Indeed it was.
But those bells are never rung.
I know, my lord. They have been silent for too long. But I am changing all that. I mean to restore to the cathedral one of its ancient glories.
But what about the noise?
Noise? The music of church bells can hardly be called a noise, my lord.
It can when it's outside my study window on a Saturday afternoon.
Wasn't it dreadfully loud at the deanery?
I was not at the deanery.
Well, I think your wife will have something to say about this, Dean.
My wife was not there either. She was in the bell tower at the end of a rope.
Dean, I am sorry. Oh.
She is as keen a ringer as I am. Ours was a ringing romance. Indeed, we first met in a belfry.
That explains a lot.
It explains why we have formed this band of devoted enthusiasts to revive the art of change ringing in all its clamorous splendor.
Well, if what we've just heard was a sample, Dean, I can't say I noticed much splendor.
That wasn't ringing. We were raising the bells into the ringing position. Do you know nothing of the exercise?
The what, Dean?
The exercise. The name by which bell ringing is known to the cognoscenti.
Is it, Dean? I'm ashamed to say I didn't know that.
Neither did I, but I'm not ashamed.
My lord, were none of your previous appointments with bells?
No, Dean. There's much in my life to be grateful for.
So I gather you don't share our enthusiasm.
I'm afraid not, Dean. I prefer peace and quiet, and the last thing I want to hear is a lot of noisy bells.
Good. This will give us an opportunity to convert you.
But I don't wish to be converted.
Nonsense. We shall have you joining us in the bell tower in no time.
I'm very sorry to disappoint you, Dean, but in the first place, you won't be in the tower. At this cathedral, bell ringing is forbidden.
Forbidden? By whom? Who has forbidden it?
Dean Skinner, Dean.
Ah.
He forbade it in 1900.
Dean Skinner, quite so.
And what exactly does that mean?
He was Dean, my lord. Bells come under the control of the Dean. Skinner forbade. I have decided to permit them.
Oh. Well, Dean, I thoroughly disapprove of this project, and I think you should know that before you start.
But we have started.
Have you, Dean?
We have been practicing every Saturday night for months.
Every Saturday night? But you can't have been. We haven't heard you, have we, Newt?
No, my lord. Mark you, my room does have a very small window.
You wouldn't have heard us, my lord. We have been practicing in my study with handbells. We now have a substantial repertoire, and we are anxious to begin public performance.
See, but why didn't you let us know what you were getting up to?
We wished it to come as a surprise.
Oh, it certainly has, Dean, hasn't it, my lord?
Yes, Newt, without question.
Bishop, have you got rid of him? Oh, hello, Dean.
Good afternoon, Archdeacon.
What is it, Henry?
Time's getting on, Bishop.
I know, Henry, but we've just had a surprise.
Yes, Archdeacon. The Dean has just told us what he and his wife have been getting up to on Saturday nights.
What is that exactly, Dean?
The exercise, Archdeacon.
The exercise?
Oh, yes, Archdeacon, that's what it's called by the cognoscenti.
Well, well, well. You live and learn.
There are, of course, other names for it.
Yes, Dean. So I believe.
No. Never mind what it's called. The point is, they now want to give a public performance.
What? Yes, Archdeacon. We have a substantial repertoire.
I say, steady on. We can't have that sort of thing, Bishop.
Oh, don't worry, Henry. I've just been making it quite clear to the Dean how much I disapprove.
You may disapprove, my lord, but you can't deny it'll bring people into the cathedral.
No one could deny that.
Nonsense. I deny it emphatically. If you ask me, most people will be put off by the noise.
Noise, Bishop?
Well, you heard those bells, Henry.
I say, Dean, are you going to ring bells as well?
As well as what, Archdeacon?
As well as what we've been talking about.
We've been talking about bells, Archdeacon.
Have we?
Henry, what did you think we were talking about?
I was trying not to think.
I do not see what possible objection you can have to the ringing of bells for half an hour before matins each Sunday, my lord.
Is that the only time you intend to ring them, Dean?
Unfortunately, yes. We cannot manage it more frequently.
Oh, dear.
What's the matter, Luke?
Well, we shan't be able to hear them, my lord. We're always out in the diocese at that time.
So we are. Dean, on second thought, I withdraw my objection.
You do, my lord?
Yes, the scheme has my blessing.
Oh, thank you, my lord. I'm delighted to hear it.
Not at all. And now I expect you want to rejoin dear Mrs. Pugh Critchley.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Still here, Lionel. Good afternoon, Bishop.
Ah, good afternoon, Mrs. Pugh Critchley.
We must hurry, Lionel. Everyone's waiting to begin practice.
If you will excuse me, gentlemen.
Of course, Dean, of course. Another session in the study on the handbells?
Handbells? No, we've moved beyond handbells.
Didn't you hear us raising the cathedral bells, Bishop?
Yes, but aren't they for tomorrow? You said you were only going to ring on Sunday morning.
So we are, but to ring you must first practice.
What? You're going to practice now?
Yes, we shall need to have a short practice every Saturday afternoon.
How short?
Only about 3 hours.
Oh.
Do come on, Lionel.
Coming, my love.
Good afternoon.
Oh, really? 3 hours of bell ringing on a Saturday afternoon? How typical of the man to start ringing the bells when it's obvious they were banned because they made too much noise.
Noise? Oh, it wasn't the noise, my lord.
It must have been. You heard him just now, Newt. Poor old Skinner obviously couldn't stand it. Don't forget the deanery is right next door to the tower.
No. It was safety, my lord. He was frightened of vibration. It's all in the poem. For ancient walls will never stand the shaking of this noisy band.
Ancient wall? What ancient walls?
The tower, Bishop.
Of course, Henry, yes. Oh, that beautiful old tower.
Oh, yes. It's 14th century.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, well, there you are, then, there you are. Oh, old Skinner must have been worried stiff about it.
Oh, do you think the Dean knows, my lord?
Well, if he doesn't, Newt, he soon will.
Are you going to tell him?
No, Newt, you are. You are going to recite your poem to him.
Am I? Oh, crikey Moses.
That should stop him ringing Henry.
It certainly should, Bishop.
Come on, let's all go over to the bell tower.
Seven, eight, and remember, gentlemen, a steady pull, no tugging. 3, 4, 6.
Dean! 2, Dean!
5, 3, 5, 1. Ah, now come in to watch, my lord. Archdeacon, I said we would convert you. 3, 1.
I want a word with you, Dean!
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 6. That's impossible. 5, 4, 3, 7.
Lionel is conducting, Bishop.
So I see, madam, but can't you stop for a moment, Dean?
5, 7, 4. Of course I can't stop. And 1, 2.
We are ringing a peal, Bishop. 5,000 grandsire triple.
Well, I can't help that. You must stop.
7, 8, 5. But you've withdrawn your objection. 1.
There are fresh objections, Dean.
On what grounds?
Safety, Dean.
Safety. Stand, stand. Ooh. Everybody, stand. Stand, Grace.
Standing, Lalo.
Now, what is this, my lord?
You must stop ringing, Dean.
We have stopped ringing, Bishop.
Forever, madam. These bells must not ring again. The tower is not safe.
Oh, and who says the tower isn't safe, my lord?
It's all in a poem, Dean. Newt, recite the Dean your poem.
Hmm? Yes, of course, my lord. Great Tom of Oggs has lost his voice. The treble's throat is rusted. This silence is Dean Skinner's choice. He says they can't be trusted, for ancient walls will never stand the shaking of this noisy band.
There. Now, what do you think of that, Dean?
And may I ask where you found this piece of doggerel?
It's written on the wall behind you, Dean. I'm surprised you haven't read it.
I haven't time to go around reading things written on walls.
Really, Dean? You must miss a lot.
Well, at least you will agree that it proves the tower isn't safe.
Nonsense. The tower is perfectly safe.
But how can you say that, Dean? Ancient walls will never stand the shaking of this noisy band.
In the first place, these walls are not ancient.
Well, of course they are. They're 14th century.
They may look 14th century, my lord, but this tower was added in 1900.
Was it?
Yeah, well, Dean, even so, I mean, you can't be sure that it's safe. There must be a great deal of vibration from these great bells.
Better not take any risks, Dean.
I agree, Archdeacon. And that is why I've had a survey made by the cathedral architect and a firm of consultant engineers who have assured me there is not the least sign of movement or the smallest crack anywhere in the tower.
Then why did Dean Skinner stop the ringing?
Presumably because he was not in possession of the advanced technical knowledge available to me, my lord.
Oh, well, I suppose as long as you're satisfied, it's safe, Dean.
Of course I'm satisfied, my lord. Do you imagine that as dean of this cathedral with its care and maintenance entrusted to me by the crown, that I would, for one moment, have contemplated ringing these bells unless I was wholly satisfied that it was safe so to do?
No, I suppose not.
Then, if you will be kind enough to excuse us, we will start our peal again. Ready, gentlemen, Grace, my love.
From the beginning, Lionel.
I'm afraid so.
But we were doing so well.
It can't be helped. Now, if you are ready.
Ready, Lionel.
Then, if you please.
Treble's going. Go!
2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, come on, let's go out into the lobby.
3, 4, 6, 7, 7.
What do you think of that, Henry?
Very disappointing, Bishop.
Oh, wasn't it, Archdeacon? I always thought this tower was 14th century.
Oh, well, never mind about the tower, Newt.
But it's frightfully convincing, my lord. Just look at that decorated tracery up there over the main door of the tower.
I'm not interested in looking at anything.
But it's so cleverly done. Do you know they've even faked a crack in it?
Once and for all. Have they?
Yes. Look, it goes right across the top of the door.
So it does. Wait a moment. That isn't a fake. It is a crack. Look, Henry.
But it can't be, my lord.
But it is. Henry, do you realize what this means?
Yes, Bishop. Old Skinner was right after all.
I'll say he was. Ooh, when the Dean sees this, he'll never dare touch a bell again. Come on, let's go and tell him.
7, 1, N8. Now, come on, gentlemen. 542.
Dean!
Three,
Dean!
Four,
stop!
And three,
must five, stop, Dean!
No, no! Not again, my lord. Six
we
and eight.
We can't keep going back to the beginning, Bishop.
I'm sorry, madam, but this is serious.
562. How serious?
And we have three, found four. A crack in the tower.
N687, a crack. Oh, where? A three.
Over the
six,
main
eight,
door.
And four, five, a stand. Stand. Stand, everybody.
Oh, must we, Lionel?
I said stand, Grace.
Standing, Lionel.
My lord.
What is all this?
It's a crack, Dean. A great big crack just outside in the lobby.
There, that is impossible. The engineers have assured me there's not the slightest crack anywhere.
But I don't suppose it was there when they looked.
No, you hadn't rung the bell then,
no,
Dean.
But they carried out the most exhaustive tests. They gave me their assurance that nothing could possibly go wrong.
Well, if you don't believe us, come and see for yourself.
I certainly will, my lord.
Oh, do hurry, Lionel. We must get on with the peel.
This won't take a moment, my love. Now, where is this crack?
There, Dean, above the door.
Great heavens! It is a crack.
Well, we told you it was.
But this is very serious. I must go to the deanery and telephone the architect immediately.
Well, does this mean you won't be ringing the bells, Dean?
I'm afraid it certainly does, my lord. I fear there is little chance of getting them ringing now. Excuse me.
Oh, well, Henry, I think our troubles are over.
I wouldn't be so sure, Bishop.
Why?
Well, did you notice that crack when the dean shut the door?
No.
It moved.
Moved? How did it move?
In the breeze.
Oh, nonsense, Henry. Cracks can't move.
No, Bishop, but a cobweb can.
A cobweb? It can't be a cobweb.
Ah!
Right, Luke, what on earth's the matter?
Oh, the door, my lord, a huge spider.
Oh, really, Henry, yes, you're right. It is a cobweb. Oh, really, what do we do now?
Lionel! Where's Lionel?
He's gone to the deanery, madam.
To ring the architect about the crack.
So there really is a crack?
Yes, well,
Where is it?
There, above the door.
Where?
Up there, across the decorated moulding on the left.
You mean on the left of the cobweb? All I can see is a large cobweb.
What makes you think it is a cobweb, madam?
Think? Are you suggesting I don't know a cobweb when I see one?
No, of course not, madam, of course not.
You don't mean you interrupted our appeal and sent poor Lionel to phone the architect because of a cobweb?
Oh, well, I mean, madam, we can all make mistakes.
Yes, Bishop, but some of us make more than others. I must go and get him immediately. If I know Lionel, he's not going to like this.
Oh, my lord, what are we going to do now?
Well, I know what we're not going to do, Newt. We are not going to wait for the dean to return. Come on, let's get back to the palace. Come along in, Henry.
Thank you, Bishop.
Would you like to go into the study?
No point, Bishop. If he's going to ring the bells again...
You're right, old friend. And to think we've got to put up with it week after week. What are we going to do?
Well, may I make a suggestion,
my lord? I wish you would, Newt.
Well, how about helping me with the washing up?
Well, what do you think, Henry?
Oh, well, perhaps I'll go into the study after all.
It's much quieter in the kitchen, Archdeacon.
Oh, is it? What do you think, Henry?
Anything for a quiet life, Bishop.
Oh, all right. All right, we might as well help.
May we see you, Bishop?
Of course, madam, of course.
Yes, my lord, just for a minute.
Now, look, Dean, it was a genuine mistake.
So Grace tells me, my lord.
So if you've come here expecting an apology, I'm afraid you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, but we've come to thank you.
To thank me?
Had it not been for your mistake, I should not have returned to the deanery.
And I shouldn't have followed him and seen what I saw.
What did you see, madam?
A large crack. Above the door in the study.
A crack in the deanery? Surely not.
It runs right up into the cornice.
You're sure it's not a cobweb?
A cobweb in my house? What a suggestion.
Alas, no, Archdeacon. The architect assures me it is a crack. He says it is due to the very considerable vibration of the bells on old masonry.
Of course. course, ancient walls. The walls of the deanery. Skinner was right, after all. I told you ringing those bells was dangerous, Dean. You can't say I didn't.
Then it's a pity you couldn't have been a little more accurate as to what precisely was in danger. We might not then be expecting the ceiling down any minute. Oh,
Grace, my love, no reproaches.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lionel. Mm.
You must forgive us. We are a little overwrought.
Oh, of course. Yes, I quite understand. But does this mean all your hard work has been in vain?
Not entirely, my lord. It is true we shall never now have the joy of hearing the cathedral bells, but we are hoping to keep our little band in existence with handbells.
Oh, of course, of course, of course. Well, Dean, thank you very much for coming to tell me this splendid piece of bad news. And now, if you will excuse us, the Archdeacon and I have just 1 hour and 10 minutes to catch up on some much-needed discussion. Haven't we, Henry?
Rather, Bishop. It's still my turn for the comfy chair.
No.
Of course, my lord, we won't detain you, but do you think we might beg one very small favour?
My dear Dean, if you're not going to ring those bells, you may beg a very large favour, and I promise you it will be granted.
Oh, thank you, my lord.
Shall I call them in, lad?
Do, my love.
Come along, gentlemen.
But I don't understand. What have you brought all the bell ringers in here for? What do you want?
Your study, my lord, to practice in.
We daren't use Lionel's. The ceiling won't stand it.
Oh, well, I suppose we can afford to be generous, Henry, dear old friend. After all, it's not going to last forever, is it?
No, my lord. The architect says 3 months at the most. And now, come along in, gentlemen, all of you. Now then, ready? Let us begin. 5, 4, 3, and 6, and 1, and 5, 4, 3, and 6, and 1.
In that episode of All Gas and Gaiters, the parts were played as follows. The Archdeacon, Robertson Hare, the Bishop, William Mervyn, the Dean, John Barron, the Chaplain, Jonathan Cecil, and Mrs. Pugh Critchley, Joan Sanderson. The Bishop Has a Rest was written for television and adapted for radio by Pauline Devaney and Edwin Amps. The programme was produced by John Dias.